Actually, it's time for Career Builder, a program that we put on air every 2 weeks. Joining us here in the studio is Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And previously, we have been discussing, you know, how do you write a resume and how do you perform in a good interview. And today we're going to focus on planning. Robert, good afternoon. I have to confess I am a very bad planner in life, because I hate any kind of form of planning, because I want to live as free as a bird, as, for example, pay as you go, come what may, you know, you know, if you can live a happy life without thinking at all about planning, that's something I would love to have in my life. But let's face the music.
I learned
a phrase from Byron. Let's face the music. We cannot live without planning. But talking about career building, why planning is so important? Why?
Well, first of all, xin yin kuai le
to, well, definitely.
To everyone. My Chinese vocabulary is increasing slowly. I mean, it's a great question. And I think your point there, your word that you used there in terms of being happy in your life, is integral to my two strategies that I want to give our listeners in to help them plan and to help them come up with outcomes and objectives. To answer your question, why is it necessary to plan? There's a simple answer to that one. Social scientists and psychologists have consistently measured human behavior, and they've found out that the more you measure, the more it improves. So, for example, the more you measure the customer's experience, for example, on an aeroplane. I've just flown from London to Beijing, and I was asked to fill out a survey of what I felt. The more it will improve. If you measure how fast people drive on a road and you're looking to reduce the speed that they drive, you start by measuring how fast people are driving. So, you know, that's the first point. And you know, the second thing I would say is there's an old sort of saying that failing to plan is the same as planning to fail.
Really?
I've heard that before.
Okay, failing to plan is the same to...
planning to fail.
Planning to fail. That means you're doomed to fail without a plan.
Exactly. Really? That's right.
It's most used for interviews. So if you don't prepare for an interview, you're preparing to fail.
In many fields. But don't you think that most of us hate planning?
I think people do hate planning. But I also think that, you know, to bring Confucius into it for a second, you know, people like balance, don't they? And most people like to achieve more in their lives, be it their working lives, be it their wealth, be it their personal lives. And by planning, that's a real, or by, in my language, setting goals and setting well-formed outcomes, which I'll come on to explain in a second, it means we achieve more. We live a more fulfilled and better life.
But don't you think this is going to turn us all into robots? Because it's like we are programmed from the day one when we were born. We started to follow the planning of our parents. And then when we are mature enough, we start to plan for ourselves.
I guess I can give you the analogy of, it's a bit like good table manners. I see your point, but it's really just you know,
it's a habit.
It's a habit. You know, it's a habit of making our lives better.
It's a good habit.
A good habit. Exactly. Shall I go on and give you a couple of different angles on?
Yes, of course.
How to plan and how to do things. The first one I think you may well have heard of in the past, and this is an acronym that we call a SMART objective, and a SMART objective stands for specific. So we know exactly what it is. We define it. It's measurable. We know where it starts and ends. We can say how much we've completed of it.
Okay. My understanding, if I'm going to say New Year resolution, I'm going to read more. Instead of I'm going to read more, it should be I'm going to read 10 books.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay.
Precisely.
I got you. SMART objective.
Precisely. It's achievable. You know, if you've read one book in the last year, Manling, or anyone, you know, is reading 10 books in January achievable or not? I would suggest that's probably not an achievable or realistic thing to do. It's got to be relevant. You know, if you're thinking about goal setting in a work context,
mm-hmm.
then your goal has got to be relevant to the job in hand. It's got
achievable
to be
in terms of how much you can, you know, finish and your capacity.
You know, to give you another example, let's say, you know, in this situation, you're running a radio show and you want to increase your listeners by 500%. I would suggest to you that that's not an achievable...
That's unfunded.
It's too much. But if you were to say we want to increase our listeners by 120%, it's more realistic.
Mm-hmm. So, maybe 20% is even more realistic.
Possibly. So the point really is setting ourselves up to succeed rather than to fail.
According to our capacity, right?
Exactly. Because to give you a simple example, you know, many people, certainly where I come from, you know, they start the new year and they say things like, I want to lose weight, I want to stop smoking. And it's not achievable because they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all trying to chunk it down, if you like, and get it into a context where it can be done and can be achieved.
And if they fail in those goals, they actually feel worse about themselves.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. Yeah. This is what I want to mention. Achievable goal is so important compared to, because it's going to send you a psychological message of yourself.
Well, exactly. Now, why didn't I give you, you know, the SMART objective is, mm-hmm. if you like, by the way, the T stands for timely, but we'll come on to that later. The SMART objective is a bit like the bachelor's degree in goal setting. Why don't I give you the master's degree? And this is what's called a well-formed outcome. And this is a much more sophisticated and psychological, to link into what we were talking about last time, way of setting goals.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few parameters around that. So let me talk you through those and then give you some examples and I'm sure answer your questions around those too.
Mm-hmm.
The first point about a well-formed outcome is that it's stated in the positive. Now, one of the other things that psychologists have identified is that the study of the human brain is that we don't process negatives particularly well. So, for example, if you go to a website and you go to a link that says, don't click here, I guarantee you, I would bet a substantial amount of money on it, at least 100 kwai, that 99.9% of people will, in fact, click there. In other words, they don't read the don't, they just read the click here. And that's how our brains tend to work. So we want to state things in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk in terms of sensory information. So how will we feel? What will we hear? What will our experience be once we achieve our goal? And by putting it into that context, it means it makes it more real for, or it makes the prospect of achieving our goal much more real for us.
Something more tangible, you mean?
Yeah, well, exactly. And therefore, we're almost programming our system to feel like it would be to have achieved that goal already.
Mm.
So that's really important.
My understanding is that we all need to feel good.
Yeah, feeling
about ourselves.
Feeling good is super
and
important.
And we all need to be able to touch or feel. The word I use is tangible. What we have been doing,
yeah,
we can vision or envision it. We can touch it even,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. The more tangible you make it, the better. The more real you make it, the better. Super important. Mm-hmm. A couple more points. We want the outcome to be ecological. Now, what ecological means in this context is, let's say our goal...
Environmentally friendly.
Environmentally to ourselves, yeah, but to ourselves.
Yeah.
So, for example, if our outcome, if our goal is to be the top salesperson in our company, that might do us some good in the short term in terms of financial side of things, but there are other things to consider about the ecology of that.
Like your health?
You're listening to Studio Plus. We'll be back soon.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people. Share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
Studio Plus. You're listening to Studio Plus. That's us. We are in the middle of a career builder segment here discussing together with us, three of us, Byron and me and Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, about actually we are talking about planning in our career build up. We all acknowledge it's important to plan, but how to plan so far, Robert has shared with us very insightful, you know, theories about it, why we need it. For example, I'm impressed by saying like a SMART objective, we just now touched on. And the next concept is ecological.
That's right. That's right.
Ecological in the sense that we are friendly to ourselves.
Exactly. Wow. Absolutely. So the example I would give is, you know, if our outcome that we desire is to be the top salesperson in our company, but that requires
us to be night shift.
For example, what, maybe night shift, maybe traveling for 200 days a year.
Maybe you are going to be, you know, running the risk of divorce even.
Precisely.
Yeah. Sacrificing your social life.
Exactly. If you can't spend time with your family.
It's kind of a balance sheet,
it's
right?
It's no good for you. Exactly.
You can do like a statement.
Yeah.
You can do a way.
And that's the contrast between a smart objective, which is a little bit more simplistic, and a well-formed outcome, which takes a more holistic approach. It looks at the whole person and whether something is good for you or not. So that's really important.
If something is too costly, don't do it, right?
That could well be the case, exactly. Yeah, indeed.
Well, interesting. Very interesting.
So just to give you some more points on this well-formed
outcome.
What we want to know is, another key point is that we want to control. An outcome is not well-formed. A goal is not well-formed unless we control that goal. Unless we start it, we initiate it. So, you know, in the context of a salesperson wanting to be the top salesperson in a company, if you require significant support from the marketing department and significant travel budget, and you haven't got those resources already, then your outcome isn't well-formed, because it's not possible to be the best salesperson if you don't have the resources necessary.
So that means one specific person, in control of the situation.
Exactly. Unless we control it, it's not a well-formed outcome, so it's
so
not
you
a
can
goal.
Mobilize all the resources to support your plan.
Precisely.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Really, so that's important. Also considered a well-formed outcome.
That's right.
What else?
It's got to be compelling. You know,
compelling.
If we say to our team, right, guys, we want to increase sales by 0.1% this year, most people will think, oh my goodness, that doesn't sound.
You have no ambition.
Doesn't sound very interesting. Whereas if we say we want to double our sales this year, that's compelling. That gets people excited.
But I think a double the income is more compelling.
Well, absolutely.
You're going to be paid.
Certainly, doubling the profit is even more compelling.
Okay. There's always an incentive behind that, right?
But then, you know, on that point, we have to balance that with, is it realistic? You know, it's a balancing test all the time. You know, we want to balance our compelling outcome with, is it realistic? Is it doable? Can we achieve it?
Oh, interesting. So it has to be in good control. Yeah. Of ourselves.
Exactly.
And the aims and targets has to be compelling.
Exactly.
But again, you know, I cannot just bypass the word of being incentives, because we all, you know, need incentives.
Uh-huh.
Motivation.
Okay.
So where can we get it?
You know, generally, if you contextualize that question, and I would ask you, are you referring to financial incentives, or what kind of incentives?
Oh, yes.
Would you be referring to
all kinds of? Some people live on spiritual sort of fulfillment.
That's called
an incentive. I think I belong to the spiritual human being.
Yeah, me
you know,
too.
If you have enough money for food and shelter, you know, that's enough for me. You forget about all the numbers in the bank.
Yeah,
but if I don't feel a kind of fulfillment in life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I don't have incentive to go on.
Yeah, exactly.
So how the career building young people who are started career building, how can they get the incentives by planning?
Well,
go back to the planning.
The key part of a SMART objective or a well-formed outcome is the timeliness of it. So the thing that we haven't touched on in a well-formed outcome is that you know when you've achieved it because you've set it clearly. So, you know, by knowing that, we know which stage we're on, and perhaps someone who's at your level, Manling, of your career, who's at a more spiritual level, a higher plane, we call it in the in the business.
High jet plane.
Exactly.
or the corner office.
Kind of. Is not at a stage of a 21-year-old who perhaps has other priorities. So it's a matter of chunking, you know, putting them in the right, putting the priorities and the goals in the right size, at the right context for your time of life.
But when do you think, you know, people should start planning in career building wise? And what is the good timing? I mean, a new graduate, for example, I have left the campus right now.
Yeah.
Can I, shall I, or should I? Start planning?
Should we have like 5-year plans, or is that
no one can actually
think what's going to happen in the future that far ahead?
Immediate plan, long-term, short-term, permanent?
I would say a year maximum. And within that year, we need to chunk that down into monthly segments that will contribute to the overall plan for a year. I don't like 5-year plans. If you step over there and you imagine who you were and where you were 5 years ago.
Do you like the idea of long lifelong goal?
Yes, but they will change as we go through life.
Like every interviewer life. Says, "What's your 5-year plan?" It's basically a question with no. It's just a rhetorical question.
It's a stupid question.
It's a rhetorical question.
Robert knows the answer. Robert, in conclusion, that you advise us to have short-term, specific, smart objectives ahead of us instead of, you know, lofty long-term plan.
I would say a yearly plan works really well.
Yearly plan.
All right.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Great pleasure.
Thank you so much, Robert. And I'm going to
Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, and that's our career builder.